Hey, this is Dustin Bird, and you are listening to Music's Journey with my friend, Kim Sear.
Sun's coming up, kissing gold on the high rise, like a mountain, a morning neath wide open blue skies. Your hands move them sheets like weeds in the wind, and I never want to leave again. You could make a cowboy stay, hang up his hat, kick off his boots, never want to climb back. Up on his horse and ride it away, cause you got the love that could make a cowboy stay.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single, The New Power Ballad, Cowboy Stay, by country's rising star, Dustin Bird. I'm your host, Kim Sear, and you are listening to The Music's Journey Show. With over 2.2 million streams to his name, rising star, country artist, songwriter, and producer, Dustin Bird is pushing the boundaries of the country genre with his unique style and evocative storytelling. Today, he proves just why he is the one to watch with his new single that's out right now. Here to talk about his new single, new music, his love for photography, and this new chapter in his music's journey is country's rising star, singer, songwriter, and producer, Dustin Bird. Hi, Dustin. How are you?
Howdy, Kim. I'm doing good. How you doing?
Really good. It is so great to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm sitting out here in the porch, and it's a pretty nice evening.
Nice. The nice night to do that, too, right?
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Wow, you have come onto the scene since 2018 in a big way.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a pretty cool ride. It's been pretty interesting. And actually, looking back, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. But, you just think it was kind of 2019 was when that Wake Up dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's only been like 3 years or whatever. But it feels like a lot longer for me, which is weird.
You've been gearing up to your release, your first radio release. Let's go back to the beginning just so that, listeners, because this is the first time you've been on the show, but just for listeners to see just how much history there was for you when it comes to the impact music's had on your life. Tell us from the beginning when you knew that this is what you wanted to do.
That's a good question. I don't know that there was like a TSN turning point for me, I think it was just like a gradual kind of realization that this is what I'm meant to do. When I was a teenager and I started, like 14 years old, started kind of playing with recording software and learning how to do little production things and stuff like that. When that really started to consume me, and then I started to put music out and then kind of seek out anybody in the industry who I could like learn from and do stuff with, and once I kind of started doing that and not necessarily like establishing myself as like an artist in the way that most people think of that, but I think just kind of establishing myself as like a bit of a musician, somebody who's trying to write songs, kind of playing with different styles, that sort of thing, and it kind of became a part of my identity, with my friends and family and that sort of thing. I think that was when, around that time was when I really realized, okay, like, I'm going to see if I can go to school for this. I'm going to see what I can do to actually, like, make a go of this as a career.
Yeah, because you sought out doing the production end of it. You went to school for that, the engineering end of it, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I went to Algonquin College in Ottawa for audio engineering, and that was a really cool experience, but even then, like, I still didn't know, the whole program there is only 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 17 when I went, I was 18 when I graduated. Yeah. And it was interesting because like I learned so much, yet coming out of it I still didn't know who I was as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I still had no idea if I was going to make pop music or, you know, get more into like hip hop stuff and R&B, or, you know, if I was still writing country songs. I mean, I've always written country songs.
Where does that come from? Because, like, I know in the songs, and we're going to get into all of that, but when I listen to your music, you definitely hear the R&B and the pop influence and that in your music for sure. Where did the country music come in for you, and why country music?
Well, that's a good question, because for me, country music has always been like at the core of me, of who I am. You know, that's the radio station that was playing in the car every time I'd get in with my mom or with my dad, you know. My family on my dad's side, they all kind of pick guitars and stuff, and they play country music, you know. Mm-hmm. The early albums that I like, Brad Paisley, the Roadhammers, you know, there was some rock music as well that I was into when I was younger, but country was really at the forefront of everything for me. Mm-hmm. And when I first picked up a guitar, you know, I was really young, and I was like 7, 8 years old, trying to learn how to like play these country songs, and, you know, reading the lyric sheets, you know, just like printing them off online. Wow. You know, and reading these sheets and just trying to, you know, learn how to sing and play them. And I fell in love with those songs. I fell in love with the feeling mm-hmm. of country music, because it's a feeling, right? I mean, like, you get in the car, you turn on country radio, like, you anticipate a feeling, you mm-hmm. anticipate a certain type of vibe, a certain type of energy to kind of carry you through that drive. Or, you know, if you're going to a country concert or a festival, you know, you might even dress a certain way to kind of assimilate
get that feeling,
that vibe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with that, like, when I was really young. And as I got older, you know, when I was learning how to produce and things like that, I'd always, you know, liked pop music and hip hop and things like that. It just wasn't like the core of my identity. So when I started doing that stuff, that's when I was like really curious, because country music had always been great songwriting wise. I'd always mm-hmm. loved that. And I always loved, you know, great guitar picking and, you know, the feeling of a great country record. But I wanted to learn, you know, how do they get that snare sound in that, you know, Justin Bieber song?
Huh.
Or like, yeah, like, you know, how did, you know, that's a cool synth sound, like in whatever Frank Ocean did there. Like, how did you do that? You know, or like Ed Sheeran's Plus album was, I think I was like 13 or 14
album.
When that came out. Yeah, really, really, really good album for a lot of different reasons. But I really loved how those songs just came through, but they were still doing cool stuff with production. They were doing interesting little things, and it was really a raw feeling album. But for me, just learning and getting into it, that's exactly what I needed. The parts were easy to hear, you know, and it was really song focused. And so I was like, okay, like, I mean, I can use guitars in this way, I can use them in this way, I can do drums in this way, and so these other genres started to influence me from a production level, from a point of view of how, like, there's so many different ways to use sound. There's so many different ways to communicate something with sound. And while that country, the core of country music, you know, live drums and guitars and that sort of thing, while that all feels great, there's a whole ocean of sound out there that can be used in coordination with that stuff to create different feelings, to create new feelings, to create mm-hmm. a new sound that we haven't heard before, but that ultimately just serves that song in the best way possible. And that's really what it's all about for me. Like, at this point, like, with production and everything, how can I best serve that lyric mm-hmm. with sound?
Let the song push you to where you want the sound to go, because if the lyrics are telling a certain story, and that's where you go with it, regardless to what the country genre is or any boundaries, which explains a lot when we listen to your music. That's really cool. You've really got that producer cap right from the beginning. You've had that curiosity and that creative side to you, you can tell.
Thanks. Yeah. I've always just been interested in like how stuff works, you mm-hmm. know, and I like making things, you know, just, I like cooking, you know, I love cooking new things and stuff, and you know, I just like making stuff. And so that's kind of what production feels like for me. It's really experimental. It's really just like, you know, try a bunch of different stuff and trial and error and experimenting and playing. Like, that's the fun stuff, because when I land on something, like when I land on like, oh, that beat hit just right, you know, or like the melody just locks in with the groove or whatever it is, right? Or that lyric just flows perfectly there. Like, when I land on those things, that hits all the brain reward systems. That's got her fired, you know what I mean? I'm getting hyped to that moment. And I'm like, I, you know, I get up and I move around the room and I give her a little boogie, you know, and I should have some cameras in there and just like see, because it probably look really goofy. But like, I love that aspect of it. And then, yeah, so cool. Like, I find like, I was actually talking to one of my writer and producer friends, Dave Thompson. A lot of people in the industry know him as Dwayve.
Mm-hmm.
And he was up at a show, just hanging out, because he was in Toronto. Anyways, he was up at a show, and we were talking about the Rascal Flatts stuff with like Rewind, and I Like the Sound of That. That was another one of those songs. So we were talking about that record, and because I said to him, like, man, that album just feels so right. I think that was like 2015, 2016, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that, maybe it's even 2014, I can't remember, but I'm just like, man, like, that record just feels so good. Like, as a, it doesn't sound like the bass isn't knocking me off my feet, you know, it's not like the widest mix I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not like the sparkliest thing or whatever, but it just
doesn't need to be. Yeah.
It just has it. Mm-hmm. Feel. It hits that pocket that it's trying to hit so well. And I'm like, I haven't heard anything since then that's quite done what that album has done for me, like, sonically. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, that was basically, you know, do it the Nashville style, right? Mm-hmm. Do that record in the Nashville way. And which is get a bunch of players to dial in their tones and work together and just kind of traditional Nashville production, and then, you know, bring in the programming elements, bring in the extra little bits, you know, afterwards. And I'm like, yeah, like, that, you know, makes sense. A lot of records are done like that, even still, like, a lot of records are done like that. But for me, like, the fundamental approach that I take is generally the opposite of that. So I generally start with all the fun bits. I generally start with all, like, the extra stuff.
Hmm.
And then I use, like, these country textures and sounds and feelings, you know, like a great pedal steel part or, like, a banjo or whatever to enhance the foundation, which generally starts from a place of, like, a pop thing or an R&B thing or something like that. Like, usually that's, like, the place that I start from. And a lot of that just comes from the fact that I'm just doing it, like, in my home studio, right? So
mm-hmm.
I'm just sitting in Pro Tools, you know, throwing samples in, I'm playing with synths, you know, picking up a guitar here and there and recording a little line or something. But that's, like, a pop way of doing a production. So it's a lot different from how Nashville kind of structured their production, and it's just a backwards.
I would love to sit in a studio with you. I would love just to watch that process, because you are a genius and you are so good at what you do, and it's just incredible. Like, I think you've got an old soul to begin with. And
thanks. And well, I have an old memory for sure. I swear that I lose my train of thought all the time. I can't remember stuff. But anyways, yeah.
Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. That happens to me all the time. I just don't have any story for it. So there you go. No, I think you've got an old soul, like a really, you know, it's just, you've got that heart, that real history behind what music is supposed to be, what it's meant to be, just all the different genres, and you understand music. And that is just so cool. To be your age and to do that is insane.
Thanks. Well, I'm learning. right? And I think the biggest thing for me is just learning who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm. That's a big part, you know, in music, just being able to discover who you are, the sound, you know, that you want to have, because you can hear all the influences when I listen back to all of that you've put out to radio right now and listen to that. There's just so much influence in there. As a songwriter, when you look at, because you're brilliant at telling stories, you are so good at it. You're also good at choosing the songs that are pitched to you too. And that's really important as well, because you got to be able to connect with that. And it's also got to fit into what Dustin Bird's brand is, right? Your unique sound, who you want to be as an artist. And you've done that extremely well. You've really chosen well. You've written really well. But is there an artist, when you look back at when you were growing up, somebody mm-hmm. that stood out to you, like playing guitar with the family and all that is amazing mm-hmm. because it gives mm-hmm. you that base to be able to listen to music the way that you want to. But is there somebody that stood out that connected with you emotionally, a song in particular that said, you know what, this is what I want to do. I can do this. I want to write.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of moments like that. I just remember listening to the radio, and I don't even know if I, like, when I was really young, if I'd wish that I had written the songs yet. I think that came later. You know, you hear a really great song. I mean, that happens to me all the time now. Mm-hmm. Hear a really great song. It's like, oh, like, I wish I wrote that. I wish I thought of that, you know? But when I was younger, I think I just really connected with, like, Tim McGraw, Stars Go Blue.
Oh, gosh. I love Tim McGraw.
Oh yeah, like what I remember too when that song with Nelly dropped. There's a song in my head, I think about it over and over again. That song, I remember that song, and I was like, oh, that's sick, like that's so cool, you know. And like Mud on the Tires, Brad Paisley.
Wow.
I had that album Fifth Gear, and I scratched that CD up so much, just like listening to it and taking it everywhere. And like I did dig into a few albums like that, you know. And I'm actually really grateful that we didn't have streaming, because I think the fact that I was able to listen to, you know, full
front
albums,
to back, yeah,
yeah,
and the way like, it's supposed to be,
dig into every one of those songs as you know was intended. Mm-hmm. And I think that that really just gave me a good foundation and appreciation for the writing.
I love streaming for the fact that, you know, people get to listen to music they never would have heard before. It's readily available. They can do mm-hmm. that. But at the same time, full album the mm-hmm. way it should. Yeah. You know, people miss so much in great music, in great music by not listening to a full album.
Well, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and I think a lot of people are of the mindset that albums and that sort of thing is kind of coming back around and gaining popularity. Mm-hmm. I mean, Morgan Wallen's Dangerous, that was a double album, mm-hmm. and that streamed so well. Like, that performed so well. People dug into it. I dug into it. But I, you know, when I was like 9 years old, you know, if I had access to Spotify or Apple or Amazon or whatever, would I have had like the, I guess, would I have actually went and just streamed the albums, or would I have just kind of gone from artist to artist, playlist to playlist, and just kind of jumped around?
Because you just listen to a song, because I think too, like radio plays a part in that too, because you're listening to a song on the radio. If that's all you're hearing, and then you go to the streaming platform to look for that song, you may not listen to anything else at all. You're just like mm-hmm. grabbing that song, adding it to your playlist and move on.
Yeah. So, I mean, usually like for me, I like to dig into the artist. Like I'd like to kind of learn, like, you know, if I hear a song in a playlist and I really like it, like that's what's great about it is mm-hmm. free discovery. Like that, I mean, we definitely, I guess, you know, if I could take anything from streaming and give it to myself as a kid, it would be the ability to discover all of this new music, because that is hugely liberating.
Oh, it is.
Like a aspiring creator, like the fact that you can just get a million different tastings, right, mm-hmm. of like all the different flavors that all these different artists are putting out, and you do have the ability to dig in. But yeah, there's definitely something to be said about the forced limitation of having to purchase an album, put it in your thing, you know, even if you have like a, you know, 5 CD changer, you know, it's still a little cumbersome and like, you know, so the limitations of that, you know, it's been said by a lot of really great people, you know, limitation breeds innovation, right? And it breeds creativity. And I believe that, and so there's pros and cons to it all, but there were definitely albums that I really sunk my teeth into, you know, like Nickelback.
I love Nickelback.
I sunk my teeth into a couple of those albums. It was what was that? It's the cover was like a black car driving down the highway. All the right reasons, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
And then Dark Horse as well. I remember that.
I love Dark Horse.
That one pretty good. Yeah, like I mean there was some like some pretty odd lyrics and stuff going on in those, but that was I was young and I didn't really know what I was listening to, you know, on like Animals or something like that. I definitely knew it was a little risque, but I didn't really know what I was listening to. I just loved the sound of those records. I knew early on before I understood like what mixing was and what production was or anything. I just really gravitated towards stuff that was really, really well done that way. Mm-hmm. Really sonically pleasing. Something that just, you know, if the vocal was just like really, really great, and if the, you know, if the drums hit, you know, really, really great way, if the guitars were just full and full of life, you know, like,
you were meant to be a producer. You were meant to be a producer.
You know, it's funny too because, like, I, you know, I feel in a lot of ways like I just sort of did it, like, started doing it because I wanted to have a way to get my
understand it.
Down.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to tell some stories. I wanted to record the songs that I was writing, and really quickly, I remember. I was how it happened was I was at a friend's house and he had a Mac, he had a MacBook, and that had GarageBand on it, and I just remember, like, you know, because when you're like 11 years old, you go over to a friend's house and like you're gonna go and do activities and things like that. I just remember he let me have it out of the GarageBand, and I just spent hours just like moving samples, you know, from GarageBand in onto the thing. Like, oh, this is so cool! Like, what? Oh, you can record your voice and like put autotune on it. Like, yes, let me do that, please. Like, just, you know, digging in, right? And like, being like, that's awesome. So immediately, I was like, I gotta get
you got
Mac.
The bug.
I gotta hear GarageBand. I gotta do that. That's awesome. You know, like, so it took me a couple of years, but I did. And then, you know, I didn't have anything else to record with, so I was literally like singing like into the little microphone like on the Mac, you know, and with like, and I didn't have headphones, so I remember taking, you know, those like chunky computer speakers that like the external speakers or whatever. I remember turning the volume really, really low, putting them up to my ears like headphones, and then singing into the just like and then eventually like I got a pair of headphones, and I got like a little microphone and you know, like an interface, and I just kind of started doing it. But like, there was nothing, you know, nothing was gonna stop me from just making stuff with sound, making cool things. It was exciting and it was fun, and you know, I often look back on that, you know, that all of my high school years just doing that, because, you know, I go to school and then after school just sit there all night long and just make it, and then get up in the morning, and like sometimes I even just take my laptop to school and like sit somewhere privately and just like work on this stuff. Like, it was just always in my head of like, I want to make something, I want to learn how this works, like I just want to figure it out, and I want to make stuff sound good. And when, you know, when you're a kid and you're doing that, and then that becomes your identity, like I said, like that was it was good because it kind of pushed me along to want to do this and find myself through it. But find myself through it was like, it's like a key thing. Like, it's weird to tie yourself to something like that. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh, this is like, this is who you are. You're the kid who, you know, makes music. And because all of a sudden, right, and then it becomes comparative. And I start to, you know, look at all these other artists who were kind of blowing up or popping off on social media or whatever, mm-hmm. and be like, okay, like, I need to do that. Like, how do I do that? And I was never like that type of creator, like to, you know, do Vine when Vine was cool, or like YouTube a bunch or whatever. I was never really like a content creator. I just wanted to like make music. And so I always kind of felt like conflicted, because it was a part of my core identity that I was going to be
exposing.
I was this artist,
right? Yeah.
You know, and I'm, and then, you know, as I got older, you know, it was like, okay, like this can't, I can't just be like an artist. Like, artist Dustin is like a part of me, but you know, if that's all of me, if the core of who I am is constantly tied to being a producer and being a songwriter and all that sort of stuff, then I kind of live and die by the success of that in a way, right? Mm-hmm, and by the perception of that. And so having that, and like you say, like being like born to be a producer or whatever, like perhaps, right? But I think ultimately, like, I just like making stuff, and I like doing that, and it's, mm-hmm. and it's a really fun way to like spend my time and be expressive and express myself. But when I, you know, put out music, it's out there. That's mm-hmm. the world. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, like, that's not, I
it's not done in your private home and you know, yeah. just for you to listen to. You're putting it out there for the world to hear.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's now out of my hands, and however that, you know, is responded to by people, that's not up to me. And that's also, you know, because it's tough too, right? Like with TikTok and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
like, you get a lot of hate on there. A lot of creators get a lot of hate on there.
You got to have some. I was talking to, I had Ali Walker on,
yeah.
and we were talking about that, because social media is difficult, you know, for a lot of yeah. artists, and yep. you know, even, you know, the biggest artists like Taylor Swift, you know, watching her documentary and just being able to understand what your identity is, and just remember, it's not about yep. that. Like, you're doing stuff for the fans, and you're hoping that they love it, and they're on that journey with you and appreciate your art and your creativity and your songwriting mm-hmm. and the songs that you're releasing, your voice, all of that, and they're getting something from it. You want to be able to touch their lives. When that all happens, it's great, but you're going to have other people that are always on there critiquing. And it's difficult, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to navigate that end of it. But if you do it for the love of writing and that curiosity that you've been talking about, you know, since we started the show, when you're talking about that love that you have, just that creativity that just sparks, mm-hmm. you know, that whole love of music and understanding it, staying in that frame and just making yeah. sure that you're doing it because you love it, you'll do okay.
Yeah.
You'll do fine. You know, because you'll start to, you know, block out that noise. You're just doing it and understanding that, you know, like, you hear, you were talking about Jason McCoy, you were talking about, you know, mm-hmm. Brian John yep. Harwood, you know, people that you've worked yep. with, the Hunter Brothers, yep. like, you've done yep. so many collaborations, you know, with so many mm-hmm. different artists. When you look at the level of respect that they have for you, they're going to tell you that it doesn't matter. You write the song, we write it, we put it out there, how it goes over, we yep. hope it does well, yep. but then you move on to the next project.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as I finish a song, like, you know, like a single, a week later, I'm like, songs past it, right? Like, it's about the process
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily like the results that come from that. I yeah. mean,
quality, not quantity. Yeah.
Yeah, and just like, you know, for example, like Cowboy Stay, right? Like, that song was so exciting to work on. It was thrilling to work on, actually, because I had complete creative autonomy just to be able to, you know, do what I wanted to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And tell that story musically and lyrically, how I best saw fit.
Well, because you built up a story to that, right?
Yeah.
Like, before
oh, yeah.
before we get into Cowboy's Day, you kind of built up a story, you know, with your
yeah.
debut album, which was
yeah.
really setting the stage for that
yeah.
new chapter that you're in right now. And yeah. I want to talk about a bit of that, because there's so many songs that are on that debut EP that are,
yeah.
well, they all are. They're fantastic. They are
right.
so good and different. Really?
Yeah, they're all really different.
Yeah.
Because they were never meant to be an album. They were always just meant to be singles. So, like, even the... So I had dropped Wake Up, People, Unscripted, Rolling Stone, Every Little Town.
I love Rolling Stone. It's so different. That's that R&B flavor, really, right? Eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a cool flavor.
Yeah, really, really like that one. Talk about Unscripted, because you worked on that song with Jeff Dalziel and with Dave as well, right? Dave Thompson.
Yeah, Dave was a writer on it, but Jeff produced it. And that was the first time ever for me where I just gave up all production control and just said, yep, I'm going to show up and sing, and that's it. And that's what I did. I showed up and sang, and that was it. And it was a really cool experience for me to do that at the time, because I hadn't done it before. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know what that felt like. Because up until that point, I had just been trying to produce stuff myself. Yeah. And, you know, it's a little bit tough to produce stuff yourself, because you've got to critique yourself in the process, but make sure that the critique is valid, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And so, like, particularly in vocal production, mm-hmm. that's where it gets really, really tricky. And it's a constant challenge.
Working with Jeff would have been a learning experience. Like, he is just incredible. Yeah. That's why he's the multi-award winner producer, you know, that he is. And people seek him out for he's just incredible producer. He would have learned a great deal from him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the vocal production, it was just a different approach than I had taken up until that point in terms of how I was using my voice on that song. So, and I think too, just not having me engineer it, you know, like do the mm-hmm. edit and all the rest of it, that goes a long way as well. And so just kind of letting him take the reins and just, you know, hey, you choose the key, you choose the tempo, you choose the arrangement, the, you know, composition, all the production elements, how the vocal is done, all the harmony decisions, all of that, you do that. And let's see what kind of result we get. And it was a really cool result. It was a fresh result for me. Mm-hmm. It was something that, I mean, he produced it in kind of a more traditional way. So that was, like, really cool to kind of hear myself in that context, mm-hmm. surrounded by, like, just a bunch of really well-played parts by some great players, you know. The way that he mixed that song was unique as well, because, I mean, every time I hear myself mixed by somebody new, it's always really exciting and interesting to mm-hmm. kind of see how I'm going to sit. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you hear your voice recorded, like, for the first time, most people, like, don't like that, right? But mm-hmm.
that's where you got to be a sponge to learn, right? You know, from different people.
Yeah, yeah.
Same as you do in co-writes, you know, sending it and writing as often as you can. You want to learn.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, hearing myself in different contexts like that was a really educational experience, and it was fun. And mm-hmm. it was, like, interesting just to see, you know, how I know how I'd produce this song. I know what I'd do with this. What are you going to do? How's this going to feel if you do it? And it was the first time for that. And it was really cool. And we came after that, which would have been, I think, the summer of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't drop until January of 2020. And then what else did?
Well, we want to talk about the writing of this song and the reasons why you chose it. Yeah. And because we want to play this one right now, because they're going to play quite a few of the songs. You know, they want to be able to, you know, get as many as we can in this time that we've got, because I want to be able to, all of our international listeners, I want them to be able to hear as much of your work leading up to your new single and just see, you know, just the variety that you've got and just how incredible you are. So talk about choosing this song, because this one was written by Tyler Shaw and Dave, as we said, or Dwayve Thompson. So
So Jeff had pitched me a bunch of country stuff, and this was actually a pop song that was written for Tyler. So Tyler and Dave and Jeff had written it, and he was just like, hey, man, like, I have a feeling like this could be a song that works. He's like, it's kind of just sat in the shelf forever, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
I love the whole concept and the lyrics with it.
Yeah.
It's just, like,
and
so
that's
cool.
That's immediately what resonated. And I was like, that's a great hook. I was like, that's a great idea. And it was, you know, delivered really simply. And, like, lyrically, you know, that lyric is, like, a really direct, simple lyric. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's so my vibe. Like, as a writer, like, I just really like writing stuff that's, like, direct, simple, mm-hmm. And conversational, kind of in tone. I don't use a lot of, like, metaphor in my writing, necessarily, or, like, you know, anything too substantial. Usually I leave it up to co-writers that I work with mm-hmm. to dig into those corners. Mm-hmm. I tend to be a little bit more direct. And that was a really direct lyric. You know, there was a little bit of that going on, but, I mean, it's funny how life is, like, how they live, you know, always prepared. I was just like, no, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole concept and this being your title track for
that's
your
right.
debut EP.
Yeah, so, yeah, and, like, again, like, we didn't know it was going to be the title track for an EP. We just set out to record a bunch of singles. And then when it came around to putting all these songs on, along with Broken Lonely and It Ain't Me, putting them onto an album, it was like, what are we going to call it? And Unscripted makes so much sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because that whole journey from Wake Up all the way through all those singles and everything was Unscripted. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a plan. There wasn't a through line or a narrative or anything like that that we had created in order to, you know, end up at that mm-hmm. place of having an album. We just put these songs out. And what's really cool about that, and will never, you know, exist again, is that was like kind of like the birth of me as this artist.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's the one that turned that page for you.
It is, mm-hmm. and it's explorative, and it's me trying stuff. I mean, Wake Up was, like, that first song, I wrote that on my own, and I did the production really conservatively, because I was like, I just want to, you know, make something kind of agreeable that people aren't going to, like, you know, yell at me for. Mm-hmm. You know, since then, I've taken a much different approach, and I have a much different philosophy, but at the time, because it was, like, really, like, the first thing out, I was like, I just want to make sure I do, like, a really decent job.
We're going to play this one right now. Here is Unscripted by country artist Dustin Bird here on Music's Journey.
It's funny how life is like they live. Always prepared, never taking the chances with romances, like they are too scared. But when we're gone, they'll write about us and talk about what we did. But for now, all I know is it's unscripted. Unscripted. They say that we're stupid the way that we do it. I don't think they know how to live in the moment and own it and learn to let it go. But when we're gone, they'll write about us and talk about what we did. For now, all I know is it's unscripted. Our kind of love is unscripted. unscripted.
That was Unscripted, the title track for Dustin Bird's debut album, which is a game changer. This one really changed his life and really changed what was going on in his career. A song that was written by the elite Canadian talents for Tyler Shaw and Dave, or Dwayve Thompson as well, and Jeff Dalziel, the multi-award-winning producer that worked on this one for him. This album was released in 2021, but there's so many songs that are on this one that we're going to be talking about. And some self-discovery. This was a really cool, cool concept and such a great, great title track for this one.
Thanks. Yeah. The album is just such a journey in a way that, it's just not going to happen again. It's not going to happen again.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, this is just something that self-discovery and being able to explore where you're going to go as an artist. You're just at the beginning of the stage and what you're capable of, and just watching, you know, what you're going to be able to do and what you're going to be coming up with. The way that you're going to be writing is going to change and evolve as you're going through all these learning processes and, you know, honing in your craft. And you are so good already. So it's just going to be so cool to see. Talk about Get-Go.
Get-Go is fun, eh? Mm-hmm. Get-Go is a fun song. I loved that hook. Around this time last year, we had been searching for this next single to come off the back of the Unscripted. And we were just getting ready to put out It Ain't Me as a single off that album. And that was going to be the last single off the album. And then we were moving on. So we were looking for, what's that next song going to be? What are we going to do? We want to, you know, introduce this new project, this new story, a little bit of an evolution of me. And so I had been for months doing demos, just demoing, trying to find what that thing was going to be. And I had a lot of different ideas and, you know, a lot of different directions that we were kind of considering going down creatively. But then Get-Go came as a pitch. And it was not like anything that I was working on that I had demoed. It was kind of an outlier. I'd done some stuff that was like kind of sort of close, like, to that pocket. But I mean, Get-Go just stood out. It stood out in the lyric. It stood out in the way that the demo was produced. It was just a really fun, catchy vibe. And I was like, okay, now let's do that. Can we do that? And so Josh Miller, Pavel Dzielwojuk, and Joe Don Rooney, those were the writers on that track. And like I said, like, I loved that hook, but they had these verses written, and I was like, okay, like, I could cut those, but they don't really feel like me. They don't feel like how I'd tell this story, how I'd, you know, build around that hook. So I started writing, and I didn't, like, you know, hadn't gotten permission from anybody to do this, but I just kind of started writing and rewriting these verses, and there's a couple little points in the chorus and stuff, but just kind of looking at it from a different perspective and trying to say, you know, how am I going to say this? So I did this demo up, and I was scared because I was like, there's no way, like, I changed like 40% of this song. Like, there's no way that, like, the publishers and these writers are going to hate me after this, and they're not going to let me cut this song. I was like, okay. So, but let's see, right?
So you sent it off?
Like, yeah. So we sent it to them, and they're like, cool. Yeah, no, sounds great. Go ahead. And I was like, oh, okay, sick. So,
And
so
that's Doug why we love this
Doug
song.
Romano, yeah. Yeah, Doug Romano co-produced it with me. He's a producer in Toronto. And we just had a real blast. And I remember saying to Doug, like, up at his studio, I was like, man, like, just put whatever you want on it. Like, whatever you think is sick, like, go ahead. He's really a cool keys player. He does a really cool, like, bluesy keys sort of thing. And he was just kind of playing it around, finding a sound. And he was doing this, like, little bluesy keys thing. And I was like, no, man, like, that's going in. That's going in the track, you know? Like, that's like, yeah, let's just, you know, playing with a bunch of, like, different, like, 808 things and stuff like that. And he does, like, a lot of synth pop and stuff. So that song has some of those elements in there if you really, like, listen closely. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of built it to be, like, really, really fun, really catchy, really banging, something that just feels good. Because the sentiment around that lyric was... I knew it from the get-go. Like, it feels like fireworks. Mm-hmm. It just feels like I knew it from the get-go. I was never going to let go. And for me, like, the question had then come up, well, how does that pertain to you? How does that relate to your life? And I was like, well, you know, if I think about it, this is just something that I want. This is a feeling that I want to have. Mm-hmm. This is a feeling that I'm after. You know, I'm chasing this. I want to have that mm-hmm. get-go moment with somebody. I'm looking for that. I know what I want it to feel like. Mm-hmm. And so let me put that into the track. Let me just put all this kind of explosive energy into that track. And, you know, who knows? At some point, you know, I might find that with somebody. I mean, I'm sure I will. And
absolutely.
I think, you know, within relationships with friends and things like that, I mean, there's, you have these little get-go moments kind of throughout your life. And sometimes you know it, sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. And that song kind of open my eyes to that a little bit more.
Very
and kind of let
cool.
me see, like,
we're gonna play it. We are gonna play this one right now, and I know that a sure. lot of us can connect to this one, because as you said, there's so many things that you can think about that all of us have gone through in life. And yeah, just get and go for it. It's just such a really, really cool song. So we love this one. We're gonna play it for you right now. Here is Get Go by country artist Dustin Bird here on Music's Journey.
I know you didn't mean to stop me dead in my boots, to sweep me off of my feet, to make my heart skip a beat soon as you walked in the room. In the blink of your ocean blues, I knew it was you for good. No doubt in my mind, you don't even gotta try, and you got me feeling like nobody else could. I knew it from the get-go. Never ever gonna ever wanna let go of holding on to you. I ain't ever gonna regret those countless IOYs, cause every single day you just keep proving me right. I felt it in my bones, my heart and my soul. They say when you know, and I know. I knew it from the get-go. I knew it from the get-go. Caught it like I caught a fate, right time and place. I don't know. To a prayer I didn't know that I prayed, and just like that my world changed. I knew it from the get-go. I was never ever gonna ever wanna let go of holding on to you. I ain't ever gonna regret those countless IOYs, cause every single day you just keep proving me right. I felt it in my bones, my heart and my soul. They say when you know, and I know. I knew it from the get-go. Second guessing wasn't a question. I saw the light in your eyes, and I knew it from the get-go. I was never ever gonna ever wanna let go of holding on to you. I ain't ever gonna regret those countless IOYs, cause every single day you just keep proving me right. I felt it in my bones, my heart and my soul. They say when you know,
was Get Go, the single from the debut album Unscripted that was released in 2021 by rising star Dustin Bird. Just a special album that is so worth listening to from top to bottom. Don't forget, you can download Get Go on all your streaming platforms. You can share it on your playlist, and you can request it at your local country radio station. It is a really cool song, and that's why I loved listening to this from top to bottom, because it leads into, like, when you talk about broken lonely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, Broken Lonely came from a really real raw place. It was right at the start of the pandemic when I wrote it. And I had just done a song called Together We're Strong, which mm-hmm. was like this big collaborative thing across Canada in support of the Unison Fund. And it ended up being in support of Jennifer Casey and the Snowbirds. And it took on this whole life. And this was like from April of 2020, the beginning of April 2020, through to like June.
Yeah, a lot of big stars on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot of really great artists that agreed to feature on it. Mm-hmm. And it was a really, for one song, it took a lot out of me. I mean, it took months out of me. You know, there wasn't a lot I was doing other than focusing on that song. It was a big project. And I remember coming kind of off the back of that, and I was writing, and I had this itch that I needed to scratch, you know, because, I mean, we hadn't played shows in months, and, you know, I was just kind of doing this and doing all this stuff remotely. And, you know, even though, like, it was a, you know, successful project, like, when you're just at home all the time, like, you don't really feel that.
Yeah, it's definitely different. You don't have the energy from where you get that inspiration from when you're on the road and you're meeting people and all those things. Yeah, it's, like, totally different. Yeah. I know that feeling.
It was really just kind of, it was isolating. And, mm-hmm. and it was just kind of what we were all feeling. And I wanted to write this idea of, you know, being just, like, broke and kind of lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried. Yeah, we all can, right? Mm-hmm. And I tried for like 3-4 songs, and I think I was just kind of dancing around the point. I was writing around it. I didn't want to like have the conversation with myself. I didn't want to confront myself with it. So and this happens every now and then. It's usually like a late at night thing or something like that. You know,
it's some that quiet time, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's dark and quiet.
Yeah, and I just pour out, and I've done that on a number of occasions with songs. A lot of them haven't been released, but I just kind of pour out. Mm-hmm. And Broken Lonely was one of those. And that chorus, like, if you would have told me I'd be in love right now, you know, talking about my younger self, I probably would have believed you, right? Like those, like that line, like I was like, oh, okay, like I'm just gonna say it. I'm just gonna get it out there. And I knew it was a special song. Like mm-hmm. some songs like Rolling Stone, I never thought Rolling Stone would see the light of day. Every Little Town, I never thought would see the light of day. I just thought they were kind of cool when I wrote them. And then like, but Broken Lonely,
special song,
because of the, mm-hmm. yeah, because of the timing of it, mm-hmm. Of when I wrote it, and, you know, through that whole Together We're Strong project, like I had a pretty acute awareness of like how a lot of people were feeling like that.
Mm-hmm.
It really, after like the first few weeks of the pandemic, like people were starting to get a little bit annoyed. And then after a few months of it, you really kind of felt it from people talking to them. And then of course, like, I mean, just within the entertainment industry alone and stuff getting canceled and pushed back, canceled. And there was this sense of loneliness.
Mm-hmm. I think too, people, yeah, like people lost a lot of money and stuff like that. But at the same time, people were going through something that was unprecedented in our generation. Nobody would have expected it with, you know, the healthcare system that we have today in comparison to what happened to our grandparents and, you know, what might have happened to our parents along the way. It's just like mm-hmm. such a different time. So we didn't see that coming. And for the world to come to that kind of a stop, everybody expected it just to be a few weeks, you know, like a really bad flu and things like that. But you know, it really, there's a lot of loss, people losing their jobs. It changed the landscape for, you know, people, you know, in every family. And, you know, there was just so much loss there. It's not just, you know, like it's in every kind of job and every type of family. And just people were losing their shirts. It was just, you know, it was just a tough, tough time. That's why people can relate to this one. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Broke and Lonely by country artist Dustin Bird here on Music's Journey.
Oh, yeah. 16, thought I was in love. In hell, maybe I was, cause it hurt like hell when we broke up. But I just tried to roll with the punch. Got back on my feet, chasing girls and dreams. Time was chasing after me, knew who I wanted to be. But I could hardly see past those Friday night lights on Main Street. If you would've told me I'd be in love right now, I probably would have believed you. If you would have said that I'd be settling down, I would have seen no reason why I wouldn't be grown up and doing well for myself. I fast forward and now I'm still trying to figure it out. What someone told me, life will move a little more slowly. And it's alright to be broken, lonely, lonely. They say if a river always tends to look better when you're with somebody you love. Cause every storm, weather and alone, feels like waiting on a miracle to come. Always getting back on my feet, still chasing that dream. Time is chasing after me, but I got all I need. And I'm starting to see life unfolds as it's meant to be. If you would've told me I'd be in love right now, I probably would've believed you. If you would've said that I'd be settling down, I would've seen no reason why I wouldn't be grown up and doing well for myself. I fast forward and now I'm still trying to figure it out. What someone told me, I'll move a little more slowly. And it's alright to be broken, lonely. If you would have said that I'd be settling down, I would have seen no reason why I wouldn't be grown up and doing well for myself. But fast forward and I'm still trying to figure it out. Wish someone told me life would move a little more slowly. It's alright to be broken, lonely, lonely.
That was Broken Lonely by Country's rising star Dustin Bird off his debut album Unscripted that was released in 2021. This album marked a new journey for Dustin, signing with Open Road Records, a fantastic year that he's had, which is just exactly what this artist needed. Music's journey, when I said artist to watch. I said that to you last year, and here it is now. So, yeah, really special. Really, really special. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I... definitely proud of that song. Mm-hmm. And it's got a really, it changed my perspective of my situation with it, just writing it and arriving at that hook. It's all right to be broken lonely. It's like a breath of fresh air. I convinced myself. It wasn't like I was already convinced. I had to write the song to come to that. Mm-hmm.
And being vulnerable enough to do that too, because it's, I don't know, a lot of the artists through all that, they were having a hard time even being inspired because, again, like we said earlier in the show, they go out on the road. That's where they get their inspiration from, being out in the crowds and seeing what's working, seeing what's on the radio. Everything just changed. The whole landscape of music changed, the approach to it, the, you know, how everybody was listening to music, what they needed at that time. People needed to hear songs that people were feeling in that moment. And this song was brilliant. It was just perfect timing, you know, and it's something that you could relate to. You were going through, you know, this, and that's why that song is so well written. And you're a really great storyteller.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I try and it's a constant journey to try and be like the most authentic version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think gonna always remain a constant journey because I'm always growing and changing. But to just be able to be 100% me,
mm-hmm.
and to know who I am and to have the confidence in who I am, to be able to share that with people, to be able to express that, to be able to avoid being like influenced and pulled into a thousand different directions, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, because I mean, as an artist, like, you know, we're also a business, right?
That's true.
And it's really easy to let the industry pull you into a bunch of different directions to
mm-hmm.
try and shape you in a lot of different ways. And it's really important for me to know who I am and to know where influence is good and to know where it's not for me, right? And that's something that, like, I'm still finding, and that I'm finding through the creative process. I'm mm-hmm. finding through making the songs and writing the songs and releasing them and just kind of going through those motions.
Mm-hmm.
And all the while, you know, having a really good support system of friends and family and mentors and my label and, you know, all these really great people around me to help steer me mm-hmm. in the right direction, mm-hmm. as I kind of go on this journey and share it with people. It, I mean, without them, I'd be a completely different person, you know? And I think that's true for all of us. I mean, without the people around us, we'd be different people, right? Mm-hmm. And I've learned that there's so much value in surrounding myself with just really, really great, smart, wise, kind, funny people.
You need it, especially. Huge. With Open Road, they, you know, Open Road Recordings has, you know, that reputation of letting artists be who they want to be. Let them be that creative.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and that is really hard to come by. And, you know, they are so cool, you know, when it comes to that, because artists feel that they can be authentic. They can be who they want to be. And that's what you're talking about is so important, because when you start off as an independent artist, that's what you're striving for. You're trying to find who you are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time you hit that, and then, you know, a lot of people have had to leave labels along their journey.
Yeah.
And we hear that all the time. Open Road is just such an amazing support system from top to bottom. And they are so
they really
good
are.
At getting behind the artists. And yeah, that's, you know, you're with some good company there. Really good company at this junction in your journey, this new chapter.
Yeah, I feel that for sure. I mean, I've talked about this before, and it really, it's so incredible to have a team that just supports the art.
Allows you to be an artist, do what you do best.
Well, I mean, you know, in 2022, that's hard to find.
I know.
That is hard to find. I mean, this isn't the way, I mean, the industry hasn't worked quite in that way for maybe even since before I was born. Like, I don't know, you know, it definitely changed with like Napster and stuff like that in the early 2000s, but like record labels, like just to have a different approach to signing artists, to the way that they, you know, approach that artist's identity and their creative process and all of it. Like generally record companies focus on different things than what Open Road focuses on. And they do prioritize the art. They prioritize the artists and the art, and they're very, very kind people, very smart people.
They've got some incredible artists on that label.
They do. Oh, and that's what I was going to say, is like they know good talent and they know good people, right? I mean, Tim Hicks is like one of the nicest guys I ever meet. Same with like the Hunter brothers. I mean, those guys are incredible, right? Like, I mean, they just signed a Graham Scott Fleming, who's a great dude. Like, this is like, you know, I
and you have all of them, you know, at your disposal too. Like, you know, Tim Hicks is always there. Like, he's just such a great mentor to so many people that are on the label. You guys all cheer for each other, work together. You worked with Ty from the Hunter Brothers too, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, I've written with Ty a few times. Ty is like a ball of energy. He is awesome. He just brings light to a room, which is really, really amazing. He's got an amazing personality, and he's a really cool songwriter. He's got a lot of really, really cool ideas. And I remember with that Christmas song from last year, Do You See What I See? I wrote that this time last year. Initially, it wasn't like going to be a Christmas thing, and then I was like, no, like this should be a Christmas song. So I wrote it, did like a little demo, and I sent it to Ty, and I was like, I'd love to hear you guys on this. Like, this sounds like a Hunter Brothers song. And yeah, they cut it last summer, and just did a phenomenal job. And I remember thinking throughout that whole process, like, that was cool, you know? Because I mean, normally, like, you got to go through, like, I mean, I guess, you know, we're on the same label, and no matter how it was structured, there would be some leeway there. But I mean, traditionally, yeah, you got to, you know, go through a publisher, pitch it to the management, the management's got to give the artist, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And just the ability to kind of just like send a thing over text and be like, hey, like, this would be sick, and then for them to go in and cut it, like, that's just a cool thing that that happened, right?
They must be so stoked when they're listening to your new ideas, your new music, especially with Cowboys Day, and just seeing what you did with the debut album. They just must be so thrilled and just like so excited to see what you're going to be coming up with.
Yeah, I hope so. That would be amazing. I mean, I always, you know, I'm always curious to hear what they're going to do. I love them just like as like personalities. Like, I think they're like super funny guys, and like they just do a lot of cool stuff. And musically, like they know how to perform together. Like, I mean, they've got her dialed in. And it's the same thing with Tim. I mean, Tim X is a pro through and through. That guy is like...
I've known him from the very beginning of his career till now, and watched him go through, you know, the 20 years, just him playing the bars. And he just, loved playing music, but, you know, he wasn't sure if he was ever going to hit that song either. And, you know, like for when you're talking about the label and everything else, same thing with Tim. You know, it takes a certain song maybe, you know, to get noticed. But he did the grind. Like when it comes to a label turning around and taking a look at an artist, you've got to have your brand all ready. You've got to wear those hats. They want to see that you've got the shows prepared, that the crowds love you, that, you know, that you've got enough of a fan base out there that you can do the shows, that you can go on the road and tour any music that they're going to be working with you on. And same thing with you. They saw that you're an incredible writer, that you've just got so much going for you. I don't even think you even get what you've got going for you. We see it. Everybody that's sitting here on radio definitely can see what you're capable of. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg for you. And I think you're just starting this journey, starting to really feel who Dustin Bird really is.
You are right. It feels like the beginning of something. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to see what that is. And I'm doing it through the music. Like I said, it's shaping up for me through the songs.
So happy for you. So thanks. Happy for you.
I mean, I find it pretty exhilarating, pretty liberating. You know, I remember when the pandemic happened and the shows got canceled, and I had done a lot of club stuff leading up to that, like in 2019, 2020, a lot of just going out like to Toronto or Ottawa or wherever, you know, doing these club dates. And I like doing those because usually, I mean, it's like a few hours of cover songs and you're not really getting paid much for it at all. And it's just kind of like running around, but it was fun. And it was always really exciting to be able to get on stage and try new stuff out and connect with a drunk crowd. You know, like that's fun. That's fun to do. And so when that stopped, I remember thinking like, oh, well, that might suck. But I also remember I had a couple dates the week that the pandemic hit. And I'll be honest, it was kind of a relief in a way, because my head was so in production and writing at the time. And I had so much stuff that I had to do. And so when the shows, it was almost, you know, like getting like
give you a breather.
It's like getting a dentist appointment canceled. You know what I mean? It's like,
thank God.
Yeah. It was like, oh, okay.
Really did not want to go. I got another year before I got to go that one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of like that in a way, which I kind of felt like guilty about at first, but then
the schedule you guys have, come on. Yeah, you guys.
Yeah, it was like. Yeah. It was like breathing room, and I learned about myself really, really quickly that like that, you know, not being out on the road wasn't going to affect me like substantially. Like I knew, I know for like a lot of artists that was like a huge, huge, huge blow to mental health.
Oh, for sure.
Because, I mean, it just becomes like a part of you, and it becomes how you kind of feel happy. And then you don't have that, and so, you know, now what? How are you gonna find that, right? And for me, like, I definitely felt happy doing it, but even before the pandemic, I remember, you know, I'd be like on the road on like a Tuesday night, you know, it'd be like a girls' night thing, $5 drink, something, right? So the place is like really packed, and then, you know, I'd get home that night at like 3-4 in the morning, have to get up the next day, like I'd probably be pretty vocally tired and on a little rest, so I wouldn't be able to do vocals really the next day. So I'd do some work, and then, you know, on the Thursday I'd dig in a little bit further, and then I'd probably have something on the Friday nights, and I'm back out on the road. And I learned through that, like, if I let myself kind of get all hyped up on, oh, like, you know, people love me at that show, and like that was so much fun, and then, you know, you don't have it for a few days, it was just a roller coaster of
emotions.
And
because that's your identity when you're doing that stuff.
So I learned really quickly, like, just leave it all on the stage. Like, give it 110% and leave it there, and you don't take that home. Because if you take that home and that becomes who you are, then you're just so susceptible. And then, you know, if on the Friday night or the next week or whatever, you know, people don't show up, or, you know, the energy just isn't matched or whatever, then you're kind of just like chasing the dragon and you're trying to get that same feeling. So I learned like pretty quickly, like, to go out, leave it on the stage. So that's what I do still. Every time we get a, you know, performance opportunity, I make sure that my show is really great, make sure it's really tight, go out there, leave it all on the stage, and
then you can unplug so much better.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. That's the key. Yeah, that's
the key. It's the same kind of philosophy, you know, in a way, to like releasing music, and that, you know, you give it your all, and then it's out there, and then you know, you kind of disconnect, and so when with that pandemic and with not having those shows, I was like, yeah, like I'm kind of disconnected from that anyway. So while I don't get like that excitement of the high, which I do crave, you know,
and get it in other ways.
It's not so detrimental. And you get it in other ways. I get it from
production just and creating. Writing and creative.
Yeah. And just having the space to be able to do that, having the freedom and flexibility, and it, you know, the pandemic.
No deadlines.
Kind of acted like an excuse. Yeah.
Cowboys Day and Cowboys all Day of these happened. Amazing. Yeah. New music you got coming. Let's do a real quick for Cowboys Day. I know you've got to get going, but let's talk about that one, because I want to play that one, make sure that we're playing it. We're going to play a couple of the other songs, because I love your work, and I just think you're absolutely brilliant. So let's talk about Cowboys Day, because that one is so special. Sure. Your brand new single right now. Tell us about writing this. It was really different. This is a power ballad for sure. And that's what we know you for. But you got such a unique style. And I noticed in different songs, you can see a difference in your vocal as well. And, you know, sometimes it's deeper and really full and rich. And then, you know, it's just certain, you can really, really work with your voice very well. Tell us about this song.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I mean, at the core of it, Cowboys Day is a love song. It's an old story, right? It's not anything crazy. It just speaks to how transformative love can be, right? And finding that person who comes into your life with like this energy, and you form this connection that allows you to like challenge your own sense of identity. It makes you willing to change yourself for that connection. You look at yourself differently because of them.
Amazing when you find that, right? It's amazing when you find that, how much it just fits and feels so right, and things that you never even thought you were, you just become so easily.
I mean, it's just I think it's something that like that becomes like family in that moment. And it's home. It's a part of you. And Cowboys Day is really all about that willingness to change your perspective and like embrace that for all that it has to offer. And it's just your willingness to change the core of your identity. So that kind of perspective shift and that willingness to change was everything for that song. That was everything. It was that kind of
shift in
dichotomy between the cowboy kind of wild, free, lone rider type of thing. And the I'm willing to settle down. I'm willing to hang it up. I'm willing to be whoever I need to be for this. I just want this. Cool. I just want to be in this. And in the production of the song, that's what you hear. So if I remove the vocal, I want you to hear that. I want that verse to feel like a ride through some prairie land with wheat in the wind at sunset. I want that. When that song comes in, that's what I want you to see.
Ooh,
I want
so
that
it's blue like your sky. Last sunset. You don't
want
to miss
I want,
a sunset.
I want that.
Yeah.
Exactly. You nailed it. And then when that chorus hits, that's where you flip. That's switch flips. And that's like a complete 180 stylistically. It's exciting. It makes you smile. It makes you want to move a little bit. It lifts you up. And how that song kind of progresses, and in that second verse, then kind of shares that excitement with like this kind of visual stuff pulled from that first verse, and then builds and blossoms into this like profound expression of I want to be here. I want to be in this. Then I take it down to that bridge, and that bridge was a pretty risky bridge. When you play the song, and for whoever's listening, like you hear this bridge, I float on this falsetto for the whole thing, and I wanted to do that because like that lyric is just really quite simple, and you know, it's saying I've never been the settled down type. You got me dead to rights. You know, that's the whole mm-hmm. lyric, but it kind of it's just a kind of bit of self reflection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to feel like that. I wanted it to feel so intimate. Because we've done all this kind of like big, expressive, explosive, like in love stuff. And now I have a moment to reflect and to kind of profess this in a way that's intimate and almost like pillow talk,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because you're stripping away everything.
Everything's stripped away. And so yeah. it's a vulnerable vocal. Mm-hmm. It's a vulnerable little moment in the song. And then I drop back down into that chorus without a beat in that lower kind of register. And it's vulnerable and it's intimate, and then it gets friggin' exciting. It powers you. It powers you right up and takes you then into this modulation just to give it that much more life, because I just can't hold back and I just want to give it everything. And so that key lifts up, and so the song is like really a journey of this discovery and this perspective shift and just this like professing of your love, and it does it all from the perspective of a cowboy,
mm-hmm.
Which made it really, really fun to shoot, because I've never been an artist to wear a cowboy. This is the first time I've like leaned into this
cowboy
hat.
It suits you.
I think it's fun. I thought it was super fun. I was like, because I mean, to me, like, you know, that cowboy hat, you know, doesn't necessarily say like, hey, like I'm trying to be, you know, a rodeo star, I'm trying to be a cowboy, but it's kind of symbolic of what that song
mm-hmm.
is talking about, you know, and it's a representation of that.
And cowboys, and, let's face it. Okay. So if you talk to a real cowboy, you know, it's a simple life. They love simple. They live simple, but they work hard and they play hard.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's what that song does. It just lifts you, you know, in a certain way. But when you're falling in love with somebody, let's face it, it's all the fireworks in the beginning.
Yeah.
And when you strip it all away, that's the real love.
Yeah.
You know, when you're settling into life and you just can't be without that person, you don't want to be anything. Like you want to come home and tell that person, you know, what's gone on in your day. That's the person you lean on. That's the real love. That's what I like about when I'm listening to the vocals and you strip everything away and you bring it down to that spot. That's the sweet spot.
Mm.
Right. It's really cool.
Yeah.
We're going to play this one right now. Here is Cowboy Stay by country's rising star, Dustin Bird, here on Music's Journey.
Sun's coming up, kissing gold on the horizon, like a mountain, a morning neath wide open blue skies. Your hands move them sheets like waves in the wind, and I never wanna leave again. You could make a cowboy stay, hang up his hat, kick off his boots, never wanna climb back up on his horse and ride it away. You got the love that could make a cowboy stay. Your eyes take the ride off right out of my sunset, and I can't take my eyes off of you in that sundress. My tumbleweed heart is planting down roots. It's all because of you. Could make a cowboy stay, hang up his head, kick up his boots, never wanna come back, up on his horse and ride it away. Cause you got the love that could make a cowboy stay. You can make a cowboy stay. Right. You could make a cowboy stay, hang up his hat, kick off his boots, never wanna climb back.
That's the brand new single, Cowboy Stay, by country artist Dustin Bird. An artist to watch with his unique style and voice. One voice, as everybody knows, I absolutely love. Don't forget you can download Cowboy Stay on all your streaming platforms, and you can add it to your playlist, and you can also request it at your local country radio station. Really cool. And if you haven't checked out the video, you got to watch that too. Very cool. Well done, my friend. Well done.
Thank you.
have you decided whether or not you're going to be releasing any more new music this year?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
When's
coming down? I don't know the exact dates yet, but okay. We've got some stuff coming, which I'm not going to give it away, but it is fire. I'm really, really hyped on the whole on everything that's coming.
You promise you're going to come back and we can talk about the new stuff.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Then we can go into dig into some details. I wanted to make sure we covered as much as we could, in this hour and a half, so that we could play a lot of music for everybody and just give the background of your story. And then, when you come back in with your new stuff, it's going to be so cool because it's just going to be really great focus on this new chapter in your life, and I'm so excited for you.
Thanks. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I mean, you take a lot of time here, and I know I like to ramble about stuff, so thanks for listening.
I love it. And that's why I said it's going to be cool to be able to go through all of that with you, and we can just really focus in on the new stuff. And really love this new chapter. Great. It just shows so much growth. So, favorite song of all time?
West of Broken Road, Rascal Flatts.
Very cool. Love that. I love Rascal Flatts. First concert you ever bought tickets to?
Arkells.
Nice. Okay. What's the last album you listened to front to back?
You know what? Actually, I think it was Snarky Puppy Lingus.
Very
Snarky
cool.
Puppy Lingus was the last album I listened to front to back.
Very cool. What is one song on your playlist right now that fans would be surprised that it's on there?
I don't know if you'd be, I mean, after the Lingus thing, I'm not sure you'd be surprised.
Yeah, might not be.
So you'd be surprised. It's not on my playlist because I don't think I can find it on DSPs, but Hozier, or however you say his name, does this version. I think it's called like Whiskey Me Boys or something. It's like an Irish folk song.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've watched that on YouTube like 30 times. I've just been really into Irish folk songs lately, so.
Cool. Favorite movie track?
Like soundtrack or song?
Soundtrack.
Harry Potter.
Very cool. If you could shoot photography anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
Shoot anywhere.
Because I know how much you love photography. You and I have that in common.
I'm really horrible at it, but I like the idea, and I like being, I like when I'm like a cool figure in photos. Like I find that fun.
Okay.
But I can't shoot worth nothing. But if I could do it anywhere, I think I'd do Northern Canada. I think I'd do like the Yukon and like none of it.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's a big range. Like I really kind of cheated there because that gets you right up to the Arctic Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come down, and it is beautiful. It is really cool.
Beautiful, beautiful. Nice. Yeah. Well, can you tell us the name of the song that's coming out next?
It's called Hating on Love.
Oh, see, we're going to go deep again. I can feel it. We're going to go deep.
Oh, yeah. You got a storm coming. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for letting us take a little snippet of a time in your life and getting to hear exactly how much music moves you. And I am so proud of you. You're making Canada proud. You are such a talent. And man, your star is just going to get bigger and bigger.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Kim. I mean, I really do.
Oh, I absolutely love you, my friend. I really do. And I'm so excited for you. And again, congratulations on Open Road Record and all your success. I cannot wait for the new music and look forward to having you back.
Me too. All right, Kim. Thanks for the call.
All right, you take care, and we'll talk to you really soon.
All right.
Bye-bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist Dustin Bird, for coming on the show. What a talent and producer. We will be hearing and seeing so much more of this young artist. I've got some great shows that are coming up for you for the month of July. I'll be chatting with The Prairie State, Sean Austin, Ali Walker, Katie Hurt, Emma Peterson, Quentin Blair, Cadence Grace, High Valley, Rock Band, Taming Sorry, Weapons, Matt Rogers, Australian country artist Haley Jensen, Emerson Drive, Gil Grand, Simone Miller, Kadu, Michelle Wright, Craig Moritz, Anthony Tulo, Jay Walker, Smoke and Ashes, Nicole Ray, Jason Benoit, and that is just the tip of the iceberg. So yeah, got lots of great shows coming up for you. Don't forget you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You also can catch all the articles for new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful evening. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
Stuff loving vain, my sweet Virginia, out of control. You start me up, and I go out under your thumb. Flip flopping flat down on the mule ride. I'm just your fool, and a fool to cry. Shine a light on the cover of the night. Flip the switch, anybody see my baby? Do, 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 do. It's only rock and roll, like a rolling stone. Anybody see my baby? Do, 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 do. She's a heartbreaker, a midnight rambler. You got that silver, but you paint a plague. Sweetest brown sugar, but you paint a plague. You're a rainbow, but you paint a black. Blue and lonesome, but you paint a black. My sweet little angel, sympathy. By the rainbow, anybody see my baby? Do, 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 do. It's only rock and roll, like a rolling stone. Anybody see my baby? Do, 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 do. She's a heartbreaker, a midnight rambler. You, baby. Do, 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 do.